sparkles and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
The following takes place between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m.
This escape was planned well in advance.
I agree, sir.
By Ed's demand for the release of the prisoners was a ploy. He never intended for us to fly Namir out of the country. He wanted him free inside our borders.
That's right, sir.
Do we have any idea where along the route Namir actually escaped?
It had to be after the bus got on a highway. He must have had inside help.
Is there anyone unaccounted for?
Yes, sir. Our sergeant is missing. We're looking for him now. I'll call you as soon as I have any more information.
Chloe, what about satellite?
We have coverage of the bus Namir boarded, but it's not continuous. There are two tunnels and three locations, including this one, where the coverage is only partial.
Damn it.
Namir is a known terrorist with possible access to suitcase nukes, and he escapes in broad daylight.
We have to do better than we're doing, and we have to do it faster.
What else do we know about this prisoner, Namir?
He's a nuclear engineer trained in Germany.
Ran a weapons program out of Frankfurt up until about 8 years ago when he moved to the Middle East.
How relevant is his training to the existing systems?
He knows it all. And he's up to date. If he gets his hands on the suitcase nuke, he can prep it on site.
I want this at the top of our list. Capturing Namir is our number one priority.
We won't be able to set up satellite parameters, and it's too wide.
Yeah, I know.
Milo looks across at Morris and sighs.
Partition the grid. Send half to me and the other half to Morris.
Morris?
Just do it. Morris.
We haven't seen a thing here.
Yeah, that's because we're monitoring the situation. As soon as I have anything new on my end, I will share it with you. Yes.
What are you working on?
Oh, just setting up image processing for Caltrans in the area Numera escaped.
Dobbins can do that. I need you on something else.
Now's not the time to pull rank on me. Chloe's assigned me a task. Please find somebody else.
Chloe. Hey, what's Morris doing for you?
What are you talking about?
Well, I know he said he's on task for you, but I need help with something.
He's not doing anything for me.
Is this a joke?
You're upset.
Our alert level is as high as it gets, and you're playing games. If you can't work with me, then you quit. The
files are on your system. Filter them now.
I will.
So now we have to assume there is a rogue nuclear weapon somewhere on American soil, or there will be soon.
All agencies are advised to proceed under that assumption.
So what are we dealing with, Karen?
Suitcase nukes. The term refers to a number of devices manufactured by the former Soviet Union. Small enough for one individual to carry, and they have a yield of 1 kiloton or less.
Potential damage?
The kill radius of a typical suitcase nuke is about a half mile. The radiation from the blast greatly extends that radius, depending on the prevailing winds and other weather conditions.
Let's just arrive at the point here, Karen. How many casualties are we talking about?
Well, that depends on the population density. In a crowded city, many thousands would die instantly, taking the radiation into account. The number of deaths and serious injuries would multiply into the hundreds of thousands.
President Palmer absorbs this bombshell, grim-faced.
Get me Jack Bauer. Immediately.
At the devastated lockup.
There's nothing here. We're wasting our time.
You keep saying we. There's you, there's us. There is no we.
Just give it a minute. Anything that isn't fully incinerated could provide us with fingerprints or trace DNA. It's Bauer.
Hold for the president, please.
Yes.
Sir, Jack Bauer's on the line.
Mr. President.
Jack.
I wanted you to know that we're in the process of verifying what Assad told you about his peace initiative.
Good. So far, everything he's told us has been true. He's given us no reason to doubt him.
I hope you're right. Listen, I'm also calling because I want you to take charge of the search for Fayed and Numer.
Mr. President, I...
After the way the country treated you this morning, Jack, I... Well... After the way that I treated you, I know I don't have any right to ask you anything. Well, you've been on top of this situation from the start, and I just want to make it official.
Mr. President, the truth is, I don't think I'm up to it.
Jack, we are behind the curve as it is. But if it weren't for your efforts today, we'd be nowhere. I need you to lead this search.
Jack, crouching by a wall, bites the bullet.
Then I'll do my best, sir.
Report to Bill Buchanan at CTU and call me anytime you think it's necessary.
Yes, Mr. President.
Thank you.
President Palmer holds his head. Curtis appears by where Jack sits.
The president wants me to run the search for Fayette and Numa. Can't do this without your help, Curtis. I need you to accept Assad as part of this investigation. He knows these people. He knows what to look for. He will see things that you and I would miss.
He knows these people because he's one of them, Jack.
Trust me. We need his help.
I can't believe I'm hearing this. Time was, you would have seen through this guy in a minute. What did the Chinese do to you?
Is there something you need to tell me?
Like what?
Is there some kind of a history between you and Assad?
Jack. They found this.
What is it?
It's a PDA damaged in the blast. The message is still readable.
What's it say?
Visitor arrived on Thursday.
Visitor couldn't be Numer. He was still in custody then.
Visitor is a code word used within the cell. It refers to weapon.
Suitcase note.
The message must mean that Fayed received it last Thursday.
If they had the weapon last Thursday, why do they need to get Numer out of prison now?
He must be key to making the device operational.
Get everything packed up. We need to go. Move. Nothing is more important than finding Fayed and Numer. You understand me?
Yeah.
O'Brien.
Oh, yes, Jack. I need you to do something for me. I want you to run a cross-check on Curtis Manning and Assad.
Is this important, Jack? I've got a lot on my plate right now.
Curtis has a problem with Assad. It's personal. I don't know what it is, but I need to get them to work together. Chloe, please.
I'll get it as soon as I can.
Numer is here.
Fired in his hideout, gets up to meet Numer.
My brother.
Fired.
I was starting to worry.
Yes. The escape went as planned, but I had to be careful crossing the city. Where is it?
Fayed gestures across the room to where another of the terrorists is holding the metal storage case, 909. Numer has the case placed on a pile of boxes. He unclicks the locks with a glance towards Fayed. Inside sits a sinister metal device.
This was the last model the Soviets produced. Where are the tools?
Fayed nods to another case, which Numer now opens. He inspects the array of tools within.
You're missing what I need to reprogram the trigger.
The device will be here soon.
By what means?
A young man named Ahmed. Recent recruit, but reliable.
Ahmed, we have known you and your family for so long. I can't believe you want to be doing this.
It's not what I want to do. It's what I have to do. I am a soldier.
You said your father knows nothing of this. When he finds out, will he be proud?
Yes.
Ahmed.
Have it you want.
Good. Now you're going to deliver it to a man named Fayed.
No.
What?
No, I'm not going to deliver it anywhere until you let my family go.
Ray, do what I say or I will shoot them.
Well, then I will destroy it, and I have a feeling the people you're working for will be very disappointed.
Listen to me.
No, you listen to me. I just killed a man for this package, and I'm not going to deliver it anywhere until I know my family is safe.
I'll release one of them.
Both of them.
If I do that, I have no leverage, and you know it. Decide now, which one do I release?
Ray, sweating prodigiously, agonizes.
My son, release my son.
I will release your wife.
No, I just told you to release my son.
You just told me who you value most. Your wife will call you when she's clear of the house, deliver the component, and then I will release your son. That's it, Ray. Don't push your luck.
All right, let her go.
Get in the car and drive. And call Ray and tell him that you're all right. This is the number that he called from. Will you remember this?
Yes.
Good. Tell him to call me when you're through. And understand that if I see any police, I will shoot Scott. Do you understand?
Jillian, in tears, embraces Scott.
I love you.
Go!
Jillian stumbles out of the house and hurries towards a large silvery SUV. She climbs into the driver's seat. 911. Ray paces nervously by the payphone.
Jillian.
Ray.
Jillian, are you all right?
I'm fine.
What about Scott?
He's
still with Ahmed. He says that if we go to the police, that he's going to kill Scott. But do you think that even if we do what he says, that he would...
You think he'll still kill Scott when this is over? I don't know, but we cannot take the chance of going to the police. We have to handle this ourselves.
Oh, God, I don't know.
Look, I'm going to deliver the package, like Ahmed said. He already let you go, so we have to tell ourselves that he's got no reason to kill Scott. Look, I'm going to call Ahmed back. Do not call the police.
Okay.
Honey, I love you.
I love you.
Ray hangs up, then immediately retrieves a coin from the phone, reinserts it, and dials a number.
Hello. Ahmed, I heard from Jillian.
Good. Take the package to 351 Old Mill Road, Valencia. Do you know where that is?
351, I can find it.
All right, I will call Fayette and tell him to expect you instead of me. Call me when you get there. It should not take you longer than 30 minutes. If it does...
I understand. I'm leaving now.
Ray heads back to his car at top speed. Jillian's silvery SUV pulls over to the curb in a sunlit residential street in the hills. She switches off the engine and runs her fingers through her hair, seeming to be in a ferment of indecision. She looks towards her handbag on the passenger seat. Finally, she pulls from the bag her mobile phone and dials out.
A terrorist is holding my son hostage. I need to speak to the police.
9:13, end of part one. Nine 19, Milo and Morris work side by side.
Damn it, Morris. I didn't want this tab delimited. I wanted in tables like I told you.
I work much faster with tabs. I thought that is what you'd want.
You know that's not what I wanted. You're just being a pain in the ass.
You know what? Nobody speaks to me like this.
You know, I just did. So what? Why don't you sit down and get back to work?
This has got to stop. Everyone is extremely busy, and you two are distracting everyone around you.
If you can explain to me how to get them to follow directions... We'll
following directions? Yeah, following that's what directions. You call this power trip you're on. What you
call
okay.
Mate? Excuse me. We all know what this is about. Milo, you and I dated a couple of times before Morris and I got back together. We saw a couple of good movies, but we both agreed that it wasn't really happening.
Yeah.
And you. So I dated Milo a couple of times, but I chose you. So why don't you get over it and stop trying to beat him up?
You think this is about my insecurities?
Yeah, isn't it?
No. Okay, fine. If you want it in table format, you'll get it in table format. Let's just stop this mad, psychotic terrorist bad guy before he detonates a nuke on Wilshire Boulevard. All right?
Thank you.
Sorry about that, mate. And just for the record, there's no lingering jealousy about any films you two may have seen together.
No problem.
Bauer.
Jack, it's Bill.
The police just vetted a call from a woman who claims her son is being held by terrorists.
Is she credible?
I'm not sure yet. She says she was held too for a couple of hours, but she got out somehow.
Is she on the line?
Yes, her name is Jillian Wallace.
Patch her through.
Ms. Wallace, this is Bill Buchanan. I'm transferring you to one of our men in the field.
Hello?
Ms. Wallace, my name is Jack Bauer. You said your son is being held by a terrorist?
Yes, and he's forcing my husband to deliver a package.
What kind of package?
I don't know. There are other people involved.
What's the name of the man holding your son?
Ahmed Amar.
Did he mention any other names?
Yes, one, Fayed.
Ma'am, how do we reach your husband?
You can't. He isn't carrying a cell phone.
Do you know where he was taking the package?
No. I'm sorry. Whatever you do, just don't let them hurt my son.
Miss Wallace, we're going to do everything we can. Just stay away from the house and we'll get back to you.
What do you think, Jack?
She knew Fayed's name. What's the location?
Northeast corner of Channing and 15th Granada Hills.
Where's your nearest TAC team?
They're spread out all over the city. You're as close as anybody. Take your team with you.
Copy that.
We have a lead.
Hostage situation in Granada Hills. They think it might be connected to the bombings. We need to go to 15th and Channing.
We can't take him on a tactical mission.
We might need him when we get there.
All teams, proceed to 15th and Channing, Granada Hills.
At the Oval Office.
Mr. President.
It's good to see you again, Mr. Ambassador. Can you sit? Please sit. How do you do?
Karen Hayes.
How do you do?
Tom Lennox.
The events of these past few weeks are deeply distressing for all of us. If there's anything we can do to help, please tell me.
You can help right now, Mr. Ambassador, by having a very candid conversation with us.
I'm always candid, Mr. President.
Mr. Ambassador, we've been in contact with Amri al-Assad. We know that he has been the driving force behind a number of terrorist attacks around the country, around the world, for the past 2 decades.
I know who he is.
Assad claims he's renounced terrorism, Mr. Ambassador. Says he's willing to negotiate, to use political means to gain his ends. Now, do you think he's telling the truth?
I have reason to believe that he is telling the truth.
But how much influence does he have? Does he speak for a large number of terrorist organizations?
As you know, there are literally hundreds of such groups. But Assad's reputation is such that many of them, not all by any means, but a substantial number, would follow his lead, at least for a while.
So this really could be a significant step towards peace.
I sincerely hope so.
Thank you, Mr. Ambassador. You've been extremely helpful.
You're welcome, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Mr. Ambassador.
So this corroborates everything Jack told us about Assad. We need to formalize our relationship with him now. Lock him into cooperation.
Tom?
I have a problem forming a partnership with a man who is responsible for the deaths of so many innocents.
Palmer holds Tom Lennox's gaze for a long moment. Karen Hayes looks on expectantly.
Is Assad still with Jack Bauer?
Yes, sir.
Let's get Jack on the phone, please.
Bauer.
Hold for the president, please.
Jack?
Yes, Mr. President.
Do we have any leads on that nuclear weapon yet?
We have one. We're following it up now. It's too early to tell if it's going to be meaningful.
All right, Jack, listen. I just had a meeting that confirms Assad is serious about pursuing this negotiated peace, and that he does, in fact, have the influence with his own people to make that happen. So I would like to come to some sort of arrangement with him. Is it with you now?
Yes, sir.
Let me speak with him, please.
One moment.
Jack hands the phone to Assad.
The president wants to speak to you.
Yes, Mr. President.
Mr. Assad, I am prepared to offer you full protection and a pardon for all crimes or acts of war in the past. There are conditions, however. That you continue tracking Abu Fayyad, and that you pledge your commitment to establishing a broader peace. Is that acceptable to you?
In principle, yes. Forgive me, Mr. President, but I need to see this in writing.
You'll have it within the hour.
The aides vacate the Oval Office.
Let me speak with Jack, please.
Of course.
Curtis can barely contain his outrage.
Yes, sir.
This was not an easy thing to do, Jack, but I do believe the greater good requires it. Do you agree?
I'm glad it's a call I didn't have to make, sir.
Thank you, Jack.
Yes, sir.
Your president, do you believe he is an honorable man?
Yes, I do.
Tom Lennox prints a document.
Mr. Lennox, excuse me. I have Sandra Palmer calling for the president, but he's on another line.
Could you transfer that call to my cell phone, please?
She specifically asked to speak to the president.
And do it now, please. Yes, Sandra, Tom Lennox here.
I need to speak with Wayne. It's important.
I'm afraid the president's all tied up at the moment.
Will you please let him know that I'm on the phone?
Well, actually, the president's asked not to be disturbed. Does this by any chance concern your friend, Wally?
Yes, that's exactly what it's about. He's still in custody. You continue to arrest innocent people, you're giving the terrorists exactly what they want.
With all due respect, the president is more concerned with the fate of the country than the fate of one man, Sandra. So.
An innocent man jailed without charges. If you believe the fundamental principles of this country, there is nothing more important than that.
Well, you've got the makings of a splendid law review article there, and I will pass this message along to the president. If you'll excuse me, please.
Mr. Lennox, pass along another message as well.
What is that, Sandra?
I will do whatever it takes to protect my client. If it embarrasses the administration, so be it.
Do I detect a threat here?
Yes, and so is this. I am holding you personally responsible for whatever happens to Waleed.
Al-Razani is led out into the wire-fenced compound of the detention center.
Waleed Al-Razani.
The dissenter for whom Al-Razani spoke up watches him.
Is there some place I can get a drink of water?
Brother.
The dissenter waves a bottle.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping me earlier.
No problem.
Be
Did you tell them anything?
Of course not.
Good.
I'll tell you something, brother. Before this day is over, they'll all pay.
What do you mean?
Another man approaches.
Salim. What are you doing?
It's all right, he's a friend.
لازم نتكلم عربي.
The dissenter gets up and goes to one side with the young man, who eyes Al-Razani warily. Al-Razani gets up and places himself as inconspicuously as possible within earshot of their conversation.
Yes, 928.
Ray's black car pulls to a halt by a dilapidated factory building. He grabs the package and gets out. Inside, Namir continues working on the suitcase bomb. Ray walks cautiously into the building in which is parked Fayyad's red van. He is suddenly grabbed from behind and held at gunpoint.
Okay, take it easy. I got a package from Ahmed, okay? Ahmed.
Surrounded now by a whole knot of armed terrorists, Ray is hustled through the plastic curtain into the rear of the workshop.
Fayyad.
Who is this?
He says Ahmed sent him.
Your name?
Ray Wallace. Ahmed should have called you and told you I was coming. You have to call Ahmed and tell him to let my son go, because we had a deal.
Quiet! Is this what you need to reprogram the trigger?
Yes. This should work.
How long will it take to complete assembly?
20 minutes.
So in a little less than an hour, it will detonate. It'll strike a blow that the Americans will never forget.
You're insane.
Don't kill him. Until you're ready to leave, he still may be of some use as a bargaining chip if something goes wrong.
Look, my son, he's just a boy. Could you please call Ahmed and just tell him to let him go? I mean, I've done everything I've been asked to. Please.
I may, if you remain cooperative.
I will, I swear.
I still have much to do, as you know.
I have everything I need.
When you're finished, meet me at the safe house.
Hayyalla. Yes.
Ahmed, it's me.
Did the device arrive?
Yes, but it was still wrong to involve anyone else.
I understand and I know, but I had to. I had no choice.
Never mind. It arrived and that's what counts. You have a hostage. This man's son.
Yes.
You have no further use for him?
No.
Then leave. Join the others. But before you go, kill the boy.
Ahmed glances uncomfortably at Scott.
Is that necessary?
Yes. He's seen and heard too much. You understand?
Yes, Fayyad.
9:31, end of part two. Part 3, 9:37. President Palmer sits in the Oval Office.
The pardon for Assad looks satisfactory. Tell the Attorney General to proceed.
Yes.
Mr. Lennox and Miss Hayes are here?
Oh, sure they're in.
The secretary is the one who objected to Tom's taking Sandra's call.
I've just approved the written agreement with Assad.
That was quick.
It had to be. We don't have the time to stand on ceremony. Tom, I know you disapprove of this agreement, but you have got to put that behind you. The issue now is how do we position this with the public?
It must be kept from the public.
That's not practical, Tom. Word will leak out. It's to our advantage to make it known that Assad is on our side.
Then don't disclose the formal agreement. Don't use the words pardon or amnesty. We're cooperating.
I agree. Let's portray Assad as a man who's not a terrorist, but someone who's renounced terrorism and wants peace.
Terrorist turned statesman.
And he's not the first. The point is saving lives. That needs to be our focus here.
Okay, so for every life that was lost in the past, because of this man, 10 more may be saved in the future by working with him. All right, well, on the face of it, the logic is compelling.
All right. Let's make a set of briefing points and get them to Armenia people.
I'm on it.
Karen exits. Tom Lennox remains with the president.
I do have to say, Mr. President, I still don't like this.
I understand.
And it makes me appreciate your loyalty all the more, Tom.
Tom's expression is ambivalent. Two black CTU SUVs pull up at speed in a residential street.
Waskid's still being held hostage.
Copy that. Curtis, you and your team, you take the back of the house. You come with me. We'll find an entrance point from the side. We'll go on my command. This is Bauer to all personnel. It is imperative we take the suspect alive. Right now, he's our best chance of finding the nuke. Slowly move into position now.
Jack leads the way as the armed TAC team fans out around Scott's house.
Yard is clear. Cover me.
Jack leaps over the rear wall into the garden of the property. A helmeted officer with a rifle keeps him covered as he makes his way stealthily to the back of the house. 9:39. Inside, Ahmed and Scott remain facing each other.
Why aren't you talking? What's going on? Did my father deliver the package?
Yes.
Is he okay? Did he do exactly what you told him?
Your father's fine.
So, then you can let me go too.
Get up.
What?
Get up!
Why? My father did exactly what he told him to do. I swear, I promise you I won't tell anybody what I know.
Scott, don't make this any harder than it is. Kneel down.
The desperate Scott complies.
I can't see what's happening in the house. Does anybody have a visual on the situation inside?
Not yet. My men are almost in position.
Jack carefully opens the side gate of the house.
Turn around.
You don't have to do this.
Turn around now!
Scott does so.
Set.
All teams are set.
Curtis, make the call.
I'm sorry, Scott.
Go!
Scott is spared in the nick of time as the TAC team rush in.
Freeze!
He's coming your way, Jack!
That's a weapon!
Ahmed is brought down.
Hold your fire!
Jack holds Ahmed's head, feeling for a pulse.
Is he alive?
Barely. Get the EMT up here now. I need him conscious enough to tell us where he made the boy's father take the package.
Get me an EMT down here, now!
I might know.
Jack.
When he was on the phone with my father, he told him to take something to an address. 351 Old Mill Road, Valencian.
Jack turns away and dials a number on his mobile.
Buchanan.
Bill, it's Jack. I think we've got an address. 351 Old Mill Road, Valencia.
Got it. Nadia, alert the two TAC teams. We have a strike target. Deploy them there.
The medical team surround Ahmed's prone body.
You're going to save my dad?
Jack turns a sympathetic gaze on Scott.
We'll do everything we can.
9:48. Namir works on the bomb.
Make sure you download to the TAC team.
Okay. I wish I could send them here.
Here are the satellite downloads to Fayed's location. They're only from the past 10 minutes, but nobody entered or exited.
What's the exterior layout?
Favorable. TAC teams can approach without being seen.
How do you get me the prison?
We just don't have enough specifics to go public. But I still want all first response teams in the Los Angeles area to be briefed on the possibility of a nuclear detonation.
Excuse me, Mr. President. You have an urgent call from Bill Buchanan.
I'll take it.
Bill?
Mr. President, we have some good news.
We believe with a high level of probability that we've found the suitcase nuke.
Where?
In Valencia, 20 miles north of the city. Tactical teams will be there in 15 minutes. Would you like me to patch you into that feed when it's available, sir?
Absolutely, Bill. Good work.
Thank you, Mr. President.
I'll let you know when the feed comes up.
Al Razani is led by a soldier into an interview room where Sandra Palmer paces.
Can we have a moment alone, please? I'm getting you out of here.
I'm not going anywhere.
Yes, you are.
Sandra, listen to me. I think some people in this place have a connection with the terrorist attacks.
How would you know that?
He sits ponderously.
They were speaking Arabic, which I don't understand. there was one phrase they used several times. Hamza, Zawa, Ziyada. Pass that on to the FBI or somebody. It may help.
They're being held illegally. Any statements they make may not be in their...
Damn it, Sandra! Stop being a lawyer for one damned minute!
Sandra gazes at Al-Razani as if apologetic but perplexed. He sits back down, takes her hand and kisses it.
Well, these guys may be planning something that will harm a lot of people.
All right. I'll pass it on.
Hamza, Zawa, Ziyada. I have to get back.
Be careful.
The soldier returns and Al-Razani obediently permits himself to be led away.
Yeah, I just got it. Thanks, Bill. Let me know as soon as attack teams arrive in Valencia.
Will do, Jack.
9:50. Jack watches as Ahmed is taken away on a gurney with an oxygen mask over his face. He goes to sit with Assad.
This represents everything that you and the president talked about. You'll receive a full pardon in exchange for your continued efforts in helping us stop these attacks and for bringing your political organization to a negotiated peace with the West.
I need a moment to look through this, please.
I understand. Unfortunately, I need to get back to work. Agent Borman will take you to CTU.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Curtis, aghast, observes their firm handshake. Jack clocks him standing in the doorway.
Excuse me. What's the document? Come here. I wanted to talk to you about this before it was executed. I didn't think it would happen this fast. We made a deal with Assad.
Was we?
The United States government, personally authorized by the president. Assad will receive a pardon in exchange for his full cooperation, which he has given us.
In other words, he walks.
Like I told the president, it's not my call. It's not your call either. Responsibility lies with him alone. It's out of our hands.
All right. And that's the way it has to be. That's the way it has to be.
Yeah.
God. Are you all right?
Are you?
Yes.
Miss Wallace?
Is there any word of my husband?
With your son's help, we think we know where he is. We've got agents en route.
Is he all right?
I don't know yet. As soon as they get there, I promise you, we will do everything we can to protect him. Excuse me for one second. Miss Bauer.
Jack, you were right about Curtis and Assad having a past connection.
Go on.
Curtis was in the army just after Desert Storm. His squad was ambushed by Assad's people. They killed five of Curtis's men and took two more hostage. Curtis was badly wounded. He couldn't go after them.
The next day, a tape was sent to the local television station. Assad's lieutenant
forced the men from Curtis's patrol to beg for their lives and then personally beheaded them both.
Oh my God.
Assad briskly signs the document. Borman accompanies him out. Curtis looks on darkly.
Jack?
I'll get back to you.
9:53. Jack goes through to the back room.
Where's Agent Manning?
He was here just a second ago.
Jack looks worried. Outside, Curtis walks purposefully.
Borman, go ahead. I got it.
You still don't remember?
Special Forces Battalion. 30-second support group.
Curtis points his gun at Assad's head.
Curtis, put your weapon down!
I can't do that, Jack.
By order of the President of the United States, put down your weapon!
Stay out of this, Jack!
I can't. I gave him my word that we would protect him.
I didn't.
Curtis, please, don't do this.
Curtis tightens his grip on Assad. Jack aims at Curtis.
Please.
Can't let this animal live.
The shot comes from Jack's pistol. Curtis clutches his throat and stares in wild-eyed reproach as he slides down the side of the SUV. Jack looks on with remorse as Curtis slumps to the ground. Assad is hurriedly bundled away into the rear of one of the CTU vehicles. Jack looks down pityingly as Curtis's eyelids flicker and he succumbs to his wound. clutches his head. Assad looks on as his vehicle speeds away. The medics work vainly around Curtis. Jack, seeming oblivious of anything happening around him, staggers off along the street, clutching his head and seeming on the point of tears. He leans over on a patch of grass. He crawls across and leans his head against a young sapling.
Jack, it's Bill.
Sprague told me what happened.
Curtis didn't leave you any choice.
That's what I keep trying to tell myself.
You did the right thing.
We need Assad alive.
He's on his way back. I think you should come in, too.
Tell the president I'm sorry. I can't do this anymore.
The hell you can't.
We're going to find that suitcase nuke because of you,
Jack. You've done great work today.
Good, then you don't need me anymore.
I'll send a car for you, Jack. Come back here, we'll talk.
I'm done.
Jack folds his phone up. His face crumples. He grabs his own hair as if trying to rip it out.
Yes.
Mr. Buchanan, I just received word that Ahmed Amar, the terrorist who held the Wallace family hostage, died en route to the hospital.
Thank you, Nadia.
End of part 3. Part 4, 9:56. The TAC team take up positions around Fayed's hideout.
Mr. Buchanan, the TAC team is ready.
Patch me in. Make sure the White House is connected to the feed.
Palmer and his aides look on. Buchanan, Nadia, Chloe, and others at CTU stand transfixed.
What'd you say? Here. Do what's that? Go.
The troops close in on the workshop, at the door of which stands guard an armed terrorist.
Delta unit, move in.
Delta, move in. Stay in safe. Watch it, watch it.
One guard is garrotted, another clubbed unconscious.
Engage.
President Palmer looks on tensely as the troops advance. One of the gang checks with Namir.
How much longer?
Almost finished. Just need to reconnect the fuse.
Ray stands terrified. The troops move in. One terrorist seems to have got wind of them.
Sabir, I think I saw someone out there.
Who?
Please, somebody, I saw something.
Echazu!
Are you done? Yes.
Can you detonate now?
Yes.
Ray crouches as the firefight starts. Buchanan looks on grimly. Namir crawls towards the armed nuclear device. Ray struggles to his feet, staring in disbelief. No! In a blaze of harsh white light, Jack looks up from where he leans against the sapling to see a mushroom cloud rising a mile or two away. On the video screen in the Oval Office, the white blotch of the cloud grows jerkily, like still photos of the progress of some terrible tumor. Karen Hayes gasps. President Palmer stares, speechless.
All first response teams in Los Angeles and the surrounding counties. Let's put them in touch with the military. Tell them the resources of the entire nation are at their disposal, whatever it is they need. Karen?
Karen turns blankly towards the president.
Yes, Mr. President.
As At CTU, Bill Buchanan stares at the screen. Chloe stands open-mouthed. Even Morris sits amazed and serious. Milo enters the room.
Mr. Buchanan, I just got a message from the FBI. He said it's important. It's some Arabic phrase.
What is it?
Someone overheard a conversation at one of the detention centers. This phrase kept coming up. I'm not sure about the pronunciation.
Khamsa Zawar. It means five visitors.
I saw it said visitor was a code word for weapon. There are four more of these things out there.
Bill looks grimly back towards the screen. Jack still leans against the sapling, watching the sinister cloud coil upwards into the sky. 10 a.m. The end.